What's up? Welcome to the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. We start hour number two. Once again, I was off yesterday, but I did not give myself an extended three-day weekend. I was off doing some business in Houston for the jungle. Meantime, back in Cali in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Eddie Olczyk is coming up later on this hour. We talk NHL playoffs with him and get a look ahead to the Kentucky Derby. Meantime, I'm trying to help out IRA Craig, and a lot of you do not want to help him. Part of the problem with IRA is many of you cannot spell IRA, so you can't find his GoFundMe page, even if you do want to help him, because you're spelling IRA, I-R-A-Y. IRA, IRE, IRA, I-R-I-E. If you want to help him, I-R-I-E. IRA, this is part of the problem. Part of the problem is they don't want to help you. The other part of the problem is those who do want to help you can't spell your name. Or your gloss, or your handle. So again, I'm here to help. IRA, I-R-I-E. Like this guy acts like he wants to help, but he doesn't. Rome, IRA's book would be perfect for your coffee table. You know, if one leg is wobbly, you can put it underneath and steady it. Steve, PHX. How about this? Back-to-back Phoenix emails. Nate in Phoenix writes, Rome, sure IRA is only at 1,000 on his actual GoFundMe page, but how many tens of thousands has he made on his theiracraig@yahoo.com GoFundMe page? Hit me with that GoFundMe page one more time.
It is theiracraig@yahoo.com.
Brother, is that an email address or a GoFundMe page?
It's a GoFundMe page.
No, it's not. No, it is not. That is an email address. I like how it's the IRA Craig, like there are pretenders or fakes. The. You know what, that verified blue check. Anyway, IRA's not coming from a bad place. Except he did say, Romy, it's expensive. It's 20 grand. Remember he said that when he called last hour. It's expensive. It's $20,000. Yeah, but I thought it was 25. Is it 20 or 25? And if it's 20, what's the other five earmarked for? Nathan Phoenix writes, war IRA thinking his street address, zip code, and social security number are all theiracraig@yahoo.com. Anybody else want to pitch in? Anybody else want to help out? I will get to my thoughts on the draft and what the Browns may or may not do with that first pick in a minute. But in the meantime, let's go to Pearland, Texas. Bodie is in Pearland. Bubba, what's up?
Oh, my God, Bubba. Long time, man. I'm sorry.
It's been a long time, Bodie. What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. Beautiful weather. It's like Texas is turning into California and all this climate change. It's pretty nice.
Hey, Bodie, can I jump in? Let me tell you about yesterday. I was in Houston yesterday. It was better in Houston than it was in Cali yesterday. It was amazing. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty weird, man. This is the longest spring or whatever the hell it is we ever had, and I'm loving it.
What but, else you got, Bubba?
Let me get to the content of my call, man. Look, I love IRA Craig. I mean, hell, his name ain't I-R-I-E. Look, Rome, believe it or not, I was a Rastafarian. That ain't no IRA. That's IRE. IRA mind like that. It ain't no IRA. No wonder nobody know how to spell his damn name. And look, IRA, whatever. I've been through every damn hurricane on the Gulf Coast. So pull your bootstraps up, boy. I'm still doing repairs, man. I'm living like Giggling's Island or something down here. And Rome, last week was 420. I ain't got nothing to do with bakers, but one baker that I have issue with is that dumb sumbitch Baker Mayfield. How the hell are you going to go on a Sports Illustrated cover with your chest showing? I got a chihuahua, got bigger pecs than that. You going late in the draft, son. Bubba, that's it. I got to go. That's enough smack right now. I'm going to say something for the smack off if I'm blessed to enter. I love you, Bubba, and of course I'm going to keep on listening.
Bubba, rock him. Hey, Bodie, you are blessed enough to enter. You're in the smack off, Bodie. You know that. Bodie's like the one guy who hasn't won it, who's got a lifetime exemption. Why? Because I said so. Because it's my show. Because I love Bubba. I'm not about bakers, but I got something for that some bitch Baker Mayfield. What are you doing going on the cover of Sports Illustrated with your chest showing? I could be mistaken, but I don't think that he's the only one who did that. I know there are regional covers, right, and other covers. And if I'm not mistaken, my SI came to my house, and it was not Baker Mayfield who was on the cover, but rather Saquon Barkley. So he's not the quote. Hey, Baker, this is not me saying this, because Baker screenshots everything that the national media says about him. I love Baker Mayfield, and I'll get to that take in a minute. I'm not the one saying it, but I want to be clear. I don't think that Baker is, quote, the only some bitch that got on the cover of SI without a shirt on. Saquon did, too. Those are the two that I know of. But SI will do that. They regionalize their covers. All right, back to his other point about Ira. He said, first of all, they're spelling his name wrong because it's being pronounced wrong. It's Ire, not Ira. No wonder they're spelling it I-R-A-Y. Ira. It's Ire. Bubba goes, even I know that. He said, another thing, Ire, I like you and all, but come on, man. Come on, son. I've been through every kind of element, every kind of hurricane there is here. I'm still rebuilding my crib. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps, son. Earn it.
Bootstraps up, boy.
Boy, not son. Boy. Hey, Ira, don't call back. Don't call back. You had your call in hour number one. You can't respond to all these things. Bodie in Pearland, the legend, saying, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, boy. And stop coming to us for free money. Ira. He may not get the money he's looking for, but he is a big topic still yet. And, Bodie, you're in. You're in the smack-off. Why? Because I said so. Because I'm the host of the show. Bodie's that rare guy. I just like him. I want him around. I like his energy. I like his vibe. I like it that he calls people some bitch. And boy, like Ira. And normally I don't like that phrase at all. But for Ira, like, come on, man. Come on, son. Come on, man. Come on, boy. Pull yourself up by your bootstrap and stop asking us for money.
Pull your bootstraps up, boy.
1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Baker Mayfield, somebody else that Bodie has no time for. Listen, I'll tell you how I know it's time for the draft. The draft is later this week, but I know it's time right now. When I see a headline on ESPN.com which screams, Baker Mayfield definitely in conversation for Browns' number one pick. It's got to be true. Schefter had it. Adam Schefter reports, Mayfield, quote, definitely has been a part of the Browns' considerations with the number one pick overall. And get this. He cannot be ruled out as the top overall selection in the draft. I mean, damn. Very spicy, right? You can't rule him out in number one, according to ESPN. Yet this breaking news. Jim Rome reports the Browns are also considering Sam Darnold with the first pick overall. And that Darnold is, quote, definitely part of their considerations. And you can't rule out the possibility of him being the top pick overall. Oh, and Josh Rosen. They're thinking about him, too. Plus, Josh Allen. Throw him on that same list. Man, this is what I'm saying. This is how I know we need the draft right now. We need the draft today. We need the draft this hour. We need the draft right this second. When we've gotten to the point that Baker Mayfield was considered, not even is considered, but was considered as a possibility at number one overall. That's news now. Right. They've got the first pick. They're using it on a quarterback. We know this. Mayfield is one of the top four or five quarterbacks coming out, depending on your opinion on this guy. We know that. Yeah, I would imagine his name did come up in conversation. I mean, that's news? That they considered him? That his name came up? Yeah, I interrupt this thought to break some more news for you. This just in, Jim Rome reports the Browns using that first pick overall, they're thinking about using it on a quarterback. That's been discussed. And you can't rule out the possibility of using that pick on a quarterback. Hey, look, I'm usually not about this. I'm not about that sort of thing, but come on. I mean, I understand there's a lot of fascination about all things draft related and that the NFL is going to milk this thing for everything it's worth. But if this is the type of thing that we're going to see as we get closer, you got to move this thing up several weeks just so we can end it. The Browns have considered selecting Baker Mayfield with the first pick. Right. And I'm considering the possibility that the sky is blue. I'm not going to rule that out. By the way, the Browns are not asking me my opinion, but they should. And even if they're not, they're going to get it anyway. Nothing against Mayfield. Unlike Bubba, unlike Bodie, I love Mayfield. I've got no issue with that guy showing up on SI without a shirt on. I love this guy. I love his fire. I love that enormous chip he has on his shoulder. I am not somebody who's got concerns about his size. I'm not concerned about the system he played in college. I'm not concerned about his act on the field or off the field. I love Baker Mayfield, period. I love this guy. I just don't love him with that first pick overall. Take Sam Darnold. Take Darnold with that pick. Keep the pick and use it on Sam Darnold. No, he's not perfect, but he's the best choice and the best fit for Cleveland. I don't care about that guy's hand size. I don't care how many times he turned it over at USC. You can address ball security. You can fix that and his mechanics. I know this much. This guy's a winner. He won at the highest level in the college game, something you can't say about Allen. And he's a great athlete and a grinder. And his teammates love him, and so will that town. And he's going to embrace that town in return. He's going to want to be there. And he'll lead from the front. And you're never going to have to worry about Darnold bouncing in the middle of a work week to go to Las Vegas in disguise and changing his name. No, I don't know what they're going to do with that first pick. I just know what they should do with that first pick. Keep it and use it on Sam Darnold. Cleveland, what do you want to do? What do you want to see your team do with that pick? Because apparently they considered using it on Baker Mayfield. Yet, really, no doubt. They need a quarterback. He's one of the best quarterbacks coming out. This is why you can't run that draft as long as you do, or the lead up or the ramp up to it, because then there's nothing left to talk about and we get things like that. Run it a few weeks earlier. End it a few weeks earlier. When we return, we'll talk some hockey. Eddie Olczyk's coming up a little bit later on. Also, the Rockets, right when it looked like that same old narrative was coming back. Can't get it done when it matters most. Where is the beard? Where is Chris Paul? Where's Mike D'Antoni? Up 2-1. They play a bad first half. It looks like Minnesota's going to jump right back in this thing. And bam, the beard lays the hammer. That story's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Mother's Day sneaks up, and then we slam the panic button. We all get suckered into some online flower giants pitching $19.99 flowers that end up costing $60. Or we grab some last-minute produce department flowers that smell like green onions. It tells mom you didn't care enough to send flowers from the Books. That's short for bouquets, and they're booking awesome. Books flowers are as unique and special as your mom. They're freshly cut from Books Farms, and they're delivered straight to your mom, so they last weeks, not days. Books even has farms located on the side of a volcano that produce flowers so beautiful that mom is going to post pics of them and brag all about you. And because Books cut out the middleman, you will get amazingly fresh flowers at an amazing price. So show mom how much you care. Send her artisan design flowers from the Books. Order right now and get an extra 15% off when you enter my code name Rome. B-O-U-Q-S. B-O-U-Q-S. Books.com. Remember, enter Rome and save an extra 15%. I love these guys. I love this idea. Books.com. That's Books.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
C-Town, what's up? You got two high draft picks. What do you think? What do you think the team is going to do, and what do you want them to do? Who do you like at quarterback? Who do you like at number one? Who should they take? C-Town, I mean, you've seen how many times your team is butchered those picks, those high draft picks at quarterback, who would you like to see? Who do you like best and why? I love Sam Darnold, which is not to say that I don't like the other guys, but I love Sam Darnold. I'm not saying he's perfect either, but I love Sam Darnold. I love the fit. I love the guy's attitude. I love his athleticism. I love his grind. I love what kind of a teammate he is. I think he will lead from the front. I think he's a good fit for that town and that team and that franchise. I think that's the best pick. That's my point of view. And that's nothing against the other guys. There's something to like about all of them, and there's something not to like about all of them. I like Darnold the best with that pick for that team in that town. I like Rosen. I like Allen. I love Mayfield. I love Mayfield. I think Mayfield's going to play big on the next level. I love the guy. Just not for that first pick. At NJ Alberts tweets, Cleveland should draft Barkley, then grab Mayfield at 4. Hashtag bold prediction. That's something. There's been that thought also. Don't take a quarterback number 1. You can get the quarterback that you need at number 4. Well, especially if you like that guy. Listen, again, anytime I see anything this time of year, I assume the opposite. Trust me, there's no way any of these guys are letting any information out that they don't want you to know. If there's information, it's a smokescreen, it's a spin, it's somebody jockeying, it's somebody playing poker. Anything that I see this close to the draft, I assume is a lie. All right, so that's a Browns fan or somebody at least looking at their situation saying, man, take the running back, except that you don't take running backs at number 1, right? Not overall. Taking one in the first round is challenging enough, the way that position has been devalued. But is this guy different enough? Is Barkley different enough? The Lonesome Kicker tweets, shirtless on the cover of SI, perfect pick. Regards, Tony Mandrich. War Elk crushing Monty. The bad kitty is in again. Her handle was Silly Blonde 503. If the Cleveland Browns are picking Baker Mayfield, then he's a guaranteed bust. I don't think the guy is. Again, I love this guy. I love his fire. I love his drive. I think the guy's smart. I think he's smart. I think he processes information very, very quickly. And the raps against him, yeah, but he's a bad actor. A bad actor on and off the field. I don't care about that. Guy's young. Definitely made some mistakes. That doesn't bother me so much. This guy does run hot, but he plays with a certain fire. He's got that chip, and that chip is what drives him. And I understand the comparisons between he and Johnny Manziel, but I don't agree with him. I think this is a different dude. I think he's more prepared for the big stage. I think the guy's an unbelievable leader, and I'm not concerned about his size. The guy's bigger than Russell Wilson. Flat out, bigger than Russell Wilson. We've seen other quarterbacks that aren't that tall. I mean, no, he's not that prototypical 6'5", 225 guy. Neither is Drew Brees. Neither is Russell Wilson. You can get the job done. The guy's almost 6'1". And he's got enough arm, and he's got enough head, and he's got enough heart, and I'm not concerned about the system that he played in college. I love the guy. Jims, for the first time ever, that possum-eating kook said something intelligent. War, pull your bootstraps up, boy.
Pull your bootstraps up, boy.
War IRA actually getting a job to pay for his book. Chad in Orlando. I'm starting to see why IRA only has $1,000. Y'all don't want to help, do you? Quote, that possum-eating kook. I've never broken bread with Bodie, but I'm willing to bet my man's never once eaten possum. I don't think he breaks possum. A possum-eating kook. Hey, listen, where are your phone calls? I've got calls, just not the ones I'm looking for. 1-800-636-8686. A good, strong take gets you jumped right to the front of the line. In the meantime, let me read you a quote. Quote, I think our time is now. Quote, end of quote. Joel Hans Embiid, April 23rd. 2018.
Hans.
Carve that into stone. Put it on his statue that eventually is going to go outside the arena in Philly because he will get one. And I love it. And I love a guy who is still looking to win his first playoff series, declaring that the team's time is right now. It's beautiful. I mean, it's glorious. Of course, I love just about everything about this guy, like his game and his attitude and his wit and his interactions with the media. And I love the fact that he's not taking this one step at a time. The process, trust the process, but he also knows that the process does not necessarily have to be slow. The process does not include losing in order to win. This guy hasn't even played a home playoff game yet in his career, and he's already talking big picture. This is a guy who's not afraid of bulletin board material. This is a guy who's not afraid of talking his way into a jinx. He's the kind of guy who would not only talk during a no-hitter, he would talk about the no-hitter during the no-hitter. He would talk about how awesome it would be to throw a no-hitter while he is throwing a no-hitter. Because then he went on. Joel said, quote, "We have a special team. A lot of great guys. I don't think we need anybody else. We've just got to work with what we have. We have a special team. And I feel like we have a pretty good chance to go far." End quote. And before you start running around screaming about how that's a jab at LeBron, it's not. Don't be ridiculous. This has got nothing to do with LeBron. What do you expect this guy to say? "Well, we're pretty good right now, but I'd really like to see us add a few pieces in free agency. You know, like maybe LeBron. Then we'd be a much better team." Of course not. Not when there's a chance he's going to face LeBron in the playoffs. Nope. Joel is rolling with what he's got right now. And he loves what he has right now. And he should. Because when you look at the rest of the East, who can you say for certain is better than Philly? Toronto, Boston, Cleveland, no, no, and no. I mean, sure, all three of them could beat Philly in a seven-game series, but Philly could just as easily beat all of them. I mean, Philly was sloppy in game four. I mean, really, really sloppy. 27 turnovers sloppy, and they still get the win. And they did it on the road in the postseason against a nasty, physical team that hates their guts. I'm not saying Philly is a great team, at least not yet, but they did what great teams do. They found a way to win when they weren't playing their best. Not even close to their best. 27 turnovers, and they shot worse than 23% from deep. And Joel had only 14 points. But they still found the way to make big plays in big moments and beat a veteran Miami team in their own house. It tells me a hell of a lot about that team. Especially when nobody else in the East is showing me a hell of a lot. Ben Simmons was asked whether he knew his team was ready to win a game like that, and his response was, quote, "Yes, I do it in 2K all the time," end quote. I mean, holy crap, that's a reminder of just how far ahead of time or just how much ahead this team is. Because his playoff experience is NBA 2K. That's his playoff experience. And this guy's still going out there and becoming the first rookie with a playoff triple-double since Irv. So, if this year's playoff experience was supposed to be a learning experience, then the Sixers are passing every single test. Win your first playoff game, check. Bounce back after a playoff loss, check. Win on the road in the playoffs, check. Win on the road in the playoffs when you're playing like crap, check. I mean, maybe there's going to be a moment that proves to be too big for this team. Maybe that moment will be tonight when they try to close out a series at home. But so far, that next moment that is too big for them will be their first. And Joel is right. Joel is right because Joel pretty much is never wrong. And if he says that he thinks that their time is right now, then it probably is. Why? Because big dude said so. And that's good enough for me. If he said it, that's good enough for me. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
I do. If they can play that badly, turn it over that many times, that guy has the game that he has, and they shoot it that badly from distance, and they still beat a tough Miami team that needed that game in their own house, tells me a hell of a lot about that team and that conference. And maybe they are a team to beat. Not Boston, not Cleveland, not Toronto. Maybe the Sixers are the team to beat right now. And if Joel says so, then I know they are. Talk about the East.
Trust the process?
I do, big dog. But most of all, I trust you. I mean, this guy hates that mask. If he says that, quote, "the mask is annoying," trust me, it's a lot more than annoying. He hates that thing. And he's getting used to it, and he's playing better and better and better. In fact, I go as far as to say, although the playoff sample is small, playoff Joel might be even better than regular season Joel. And if that's the case, they are coming out of the East. At DLH 1029 tweets, Bodhi and Iray back-to-back on the phone makes my Cal State degree feel like I attended an Ivy League school. Right?
Well, bah.
Over fine, brah.
Adrenaline level.
Two legends, Bubba and Iray.
What's wrong, Israel? Because your ass in a war. Well, dog, man, I almost choked on my spit. That rapping game is hard, dog.
It is, dog. He almost choked on his spit that day, and that won him a flat screen because he almost choked on his own spit. Why? Because he pulled up his bootstrap, boy.
Well,
rapping game is hard, right, dog? That's when he was telling Israel, a caller to the program, an old school caller, that his, quote, ass was in a war. And then Bodhi got into a war with his own saliva. Love you, Bubba. See you in the smack off. Eddie Olczyk coming up next. Didi Westbrook next hour. But it's a busy Tuesday. Time for a sports update. Here is the latest for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge, Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology is three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That according to the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VisGrade. It helps to fight friction. It delivers outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. If you're on hold, stay there. Just me getting situated in my studio. We are joined right now by a lead NHL analyst and horse racing analyst for NBC Sports. He played 16 years in the NHL. He won a Stanley Cup with the New York Rangers. He is a member of the 1984 Olympic team and the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. Eddie Olczyk joins us. Eddie, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, pal.
Good to have you, Ed. Good to have you. Eddie, the city of Toronto obviously was impacted by that terrible tragedy on the streets earlier in the day. Obviously, everything that we talk about in terms of hockey pales in comparison right now. Before the game, there was a moment of silence for the victims. What did you make of the atmosphere inside the arena and then the actual game itself?
Well, I got a chance to see it on TV because I was getting ready to work that the Capitals Blue Jackets game last night in Columbus, Jim, and you know, it puts everything in perspective, right? Like that's the, you know, the dose of reality is that you just never know. And, you know, what we do for a living and what athletes do for a living is to entertain and try to take people away from, you know, the everyday goings on in the real world, in their real world. And when something, you know, hits so close to home, because I mean, I lived in Toronto. I played for the Maple Leafs for 3.5 years and know that area extremely well. And I mean, that could be, you know, that could be anybody, that could be anywhere. And it just happened to hit, you know, very close to home there in Toronto. So I think they handled it extremely well. I think that you could really feel, you know, the sorrow and the reaching out to all, everybody that was affected. And obviously the first responders and the Leafs went out and played a heck of a hockey game, very inspired and give themselves an opportunity. But I think any time that we have, you know, tragedy in our world or in our lives, you know, you have to pay that right respect and put everything in perspective and hopefully try to help heal by what we do, whether it's athletes or broadcasters or whatever it might be. So I think that the Leafs and the National Hockey League handle it extremely well.
Very well said. Eddie Olczyk, my guest. Eddie, Boston smashed Toronto in the first two games, and I had your colleague Pierre McGuire on, and he said, listen, this thing is not over. And sure enough, it's now a 3-3 series. Toronto wins last night. How has Toronto been able to get back in this series?
Well, they're defending way better now than they were earlier in the series, Jim, and that was the one thing that I had a question about the Maple Leafs is whether or not that they could defend enough. I mean, nobody saw more rubber this season than Freddie Anderson, the goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you know, they've seemed to be able to find their game, play with some pace. I had a chance. I actually did game four in Toronto, and I had a chance to visit with Mike Babcock for a good 10-15 minutes and just talked about, look, we come off a game where we got some of our better players playing well. Austin Matthews, Morgan Riley, early in the series, they weren't getting saves either. And Jim, how many times have we talked over the years that we've known each other is that if you don't get goaltending, you're not going to win. I mean, you have no shot to win in the National Hockey League, let alone any other level. And Freddie Anderson was getting outplayed by Tuukka Rask. Now the Leafs have found their defensive game. Anderson is playing extremely well, and the Leafs got some confidence. So, look, yeah, the pressure is directly on the shoulders of the Boston Bruins. But I just thought that, looking at this series now is that, you know, Toronto is playing a much better team game. They have the puck a little bit more and making life a little bit easier on their goaltender.
Eddie Olczyk, my guest. You know, Ed, you and I have talked, as you point out, so many times over the years. Something that we always talk about this time of year is your feeling that the rink shrinks up once the postseason starts. So when that happens and the pressure ramps up, what type of player steps up in those moments?
I think the straight-ahead player, Jim. I think the player that has the ability and, as well, probably more than anything else, the willingness and want to, right? Put your plums on the table and go straight ahead. Don't go east-west. Go straight ahead. Sometimes you got to have the mindset to live to fight another day, shift to shift. Like, yeah, if you're an offensive player, you're a big guy, you want to make an impact on the game. And that doesn't mean necessarily scoring every shift. Nobody's going to do that. But sometimes you have to go out there with the mindset is that, you know what, you could tell, look, I was lucky enough to play in this league, in the National Hockey League, for 16 years. And as you mentioned earlier, and, you know, there's just sometimes you get on the ice and you get in a shift and you just sit there and go, you know what, there's probably a pretty good chance we're not going to get in the offensive zone or it's not working for us. So, you know, your mind has to go in a different direction. It has to go, okay, well, look, I'm not going to do anything that's going to hurt our team. I'm going to live to fight another day and wait for my next opportunity to go out there and was counted on to be an offensive player. So I just think when that rink gets smaller, like you said, the rink shrinks, you have to have the mindset of straight ahead hockey is okay. And I mean, these playoff series, I mean, some of these games have been just outstanding entertainment, high scoring. You've had a little bit of everything, and you've had road teams have just tremendous success to this point in the first round of the playoffs. I think they're somewhere in the high 60 percentile as far as, you know, winning those games, winning road teams, winning those games. And we'll see if Toronto can keep that trend going here with a huge game seven tomorrow night in Boston.
We're talking to Eddie Olczyk, NHL and horse racing analyst for NBC Sports. And let me get caught up on your situation. One of the things you and I have talked about was your cancer diagnosis. On March 14th, you got a call from your oncologist, and they said that you were cancer-free. You and I talked about what it was like to get that terrible, terrible diagnosis initially. What's it like to receive a telephone call like this then?
Yeah, just very lucky, Jim. Just very, very lucky with all the support that I've had from, obviously my family, my wife, Diana, of almost 30 years coming up in August. And I just, it was a team effort. I really did. I had an incredible team of doctors. I had great support at home, my family, my friends, you and Janet and your family checking in. You know, those things really matter, and they really helped me get through this. And to get that call was just a sense of relief. Again, not knowing over the course of the prior 6 months, Jim, what was going to happen. I mean, I was scared all the way through and taking those treatments and having, you know, brutal days and hoping that I would get that call once I got through my 12 treatments of chemo that I would be all clear. And look, I'm going to have to live with cancer the rest of my life. But to hear Dr. Mary Mulcahy at Northwestern Hospital in Chicago, give me the all clear was just a sense of relief. And I said publicly a little later, Jim, is that we did it because I really believe it was a team effort and I couldn't have done it by myself. So I'm very thankful. And my mission for the rest of my life will be to try to help one person either deal with it, stay away from it, and try to, try to inspire people with my story and without being overbearing. And I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about life and I'm just very thankful to be, I can't believe it's going to be 9 weeks tomorrow since I had my last treatment, Jim. So I'm feeling good. The weight's coming off a little bit. I put on 40 pounds during my treatments, but I'm halfway home back to where I want to get to. But I appreciate all the support from, like I said, not only my family and my friends, but also all of the hockey and horse racing fans that are out there that contacted me during my battle over the course of the last 7 months.
Eddie Olczyk joining us. I think you sound great. I think you look great. I want to ask you something, though, Eddie. You said something that I thought was really interesting. You have been so honest and so raw about the entire thing through the whole process. And you said, quote, you feel worthless. You feel like you're letting people down and you're a burden to your family and you worry, am I going to die? I mean, Eddie, I've never really heard anything quite like that. It is so raw and it's so honest. Can you lay that out for me? And what did you mean by that?
Well, I think, Jim, is that when you get these moments in your life where they're stopping you in your tracks and you sit there and you feel worthless. Like you hear the word cancer, you hear the word chemotherapy. I mean, the first thing I thought of and thought and while I was going through it and diagnosed was, was dying. And, those were the things that kind of came across my mind. I have four children, and I mentioned my wife, and you have a couple of great jobs with the Chicago Blackhawks, and then my job with NBC, and you just kind of feel like you want to crawl under a rock, and you feel worthless, and you feel less, and you're not feeling great because you don't know what's on the other end of on the other end of the line once you get through your treatments, and I think that's just a normal feeling, and that was just me, and talking to a lot of people that have either gone through a gym or being a caretaker, it's very common that you do feel like that, and that's why you need to have strong support and to find that support, and really, to be honest with you, with all feeling of all that, anybody that feels that and you do take the medicine or whatever you might be battling, you're the opposite of what you feel. To take chemo for as long as I did, or for people that do, and I know there's a lot of people out there way worse off than Eddie Olczyk, and I pray for those people, is that the mindset you have to have is that I am tough and I am going to have to endure a lot, but I eventually will conquer this. And for me, I had to get over that hurdle, and it was raw. It was what I felt. And like I said, if I can just help one person deal with it somewhere along the line, or keep somebody away from it, maybe get screened for, go in and get your colonoscopy and make sure it's okay to say something to a doctor if you're not feeling well. So for me, that's how I felt. And once I kind of got through first couple of treatments and realizing, I'm not less. I'm not weak. I'm the opposite of that. And I think the one thing that I proved to myself, Jim, is that I'm way tougher than I ever thought I was. Like I getting through what I did, I'm way tougher than I ever thought I was, and it helped me get through. There's no doubt about it.
Eddie Olczyk, there's no doubt, Ed. You've helped so many people today by having this conversation once again. I've got about 60 seconds. I wish we had more time for it, Ed, but the Derby's coming up. Do you have an early pre-Derby pick? Who do you like?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pace in the race, Jim, coming up, the first Saturday in May. So with so much pace in there, I'm looking for a horse that's kind of going to be mid-pack. And I think the one horse that's sticking out to me right now, again, wait till post positions, is, so vital in the Kentucky Derby. But I'm looking at Good Magic, Chad Brown's horse. He won the Bluegrass down in Lexington a couple of weeks ago. I think this is the type of horse that's very tactical, can sit in the middle of the pack and make a big run and hopefully get the run for the roses. So if the race was this afternoon, Jim, I'd be going to the windows on Good Magic.
You almost are never wrong on that day. About 30 seconds, Ed. Do you think Justify with Mike Smith can get that distance?
I think he's going to get some pressure. And that would be the only concern for me. Look, you talk about, what a daily double, right, with Bob Baffert and Mike Smith. But I think he's going to get a lot of pressure in that race. And then, that last quarter or that last eighth of a mile is going to be, whether or not he can win the race. But I think there's a lot of speed in there to put a lot of pressure on Justify.
He is the lead NHL analyst and horse racing analyst for NBC Sports. Ed, you sound great. So good to get caught up. And I'm so glad that you got that phone call. I know we will do it again soon, Eddie. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, Jim. Great to be with you, pal. Thanks.
You're the best, Ed. Eddie Olczyk is the best. Stay tuned. We're coming right back. Hour 3 straight ahead.